Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Pat Coist.
That's called singing in cursive, but I'm called Jordan in print. Welcome to Two Chunks. It's Jordan. I have the worst handwriting here, and that's a guarantee.
Oh, that is a guarantee. Really? For sure.
For sure. 100%. The worst handwriting you've ever seen.
Is a guarantee for sure.
It's like hieroglyphics.
I think Carter, do you have really good handwriting?
No.
You seemed like a penmanship boy. You could have said yes.
Brother, you seem like a penmanship boy.
I am a penmanship boy, and we know this about me.
I was in calligraphy club for 1 week in elementary school just to get the pen for free.
You got pens for clubs? That's awesome.
No, a calligraphy club.
Oh, I thought you were just collecting pens.
To write with.
No, oh, I wanted
I wanted a pen.
What? Who said that? What a jerk.
Somebody else did that. That was somebody else.
That was a different guy.
Somebody else.
That wasn't this one.
I just wanted something that was like a quill.
Laughs goofily.
And even my calligraphy was bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect it to be. If regular is bad, turn up to 11 is going to be just more bad.
If you think my penmanship at 31 years of age is bad, you should have seen my penmanship at 10. It's the same. No change.
Pretty similar.
As the Earth continues to complete its orbit around the sun, the seasons change. And so I'd like to ask you guys a summertime question.
Oh.
Here's the punchline. Because something fishy was going on. I'm Doge. You got to tell me what's the joke. Because something fishy was going on.
Boy, this could be so much.
Because something fishy was going on. Here's our punchline. Because something fishy was going on. Now, get this. What's the joke?
Why did the tartar sauce leave the club?
Ooh.
Why did it leave the what?
The club.
I love that it was up in the club.
The tartar sauce is at the club, and then the tartar sauce is like, I gotta get out of here.
Something fishy's going on.
Fishy going on here.
You'd think that would attract the tartar sauce.
There's gonna be less of me if this year.
One thing, you would think that. That's on me. There's an ad in the bottom of this joke page. Taco Bueno has brisket now. It's got brisket on everything. It's got brisket on the nachos, on the tacos, on the elotes.
I love brisket nachos, but I don't think I'm messing with Taco Bell brisket.
It's Bueno.
Even worse. Taco Bueno is bottom, last place. Boo, terrible. I agree.
The worst taco.
I would rather go hungry than eat Taco Bueno.
Antithesis to Taco Casa.
Good question.
Anyone leave the ocean?
Dude.
Make sure there's a dude in there.
Why did anyone leave the ocean, dude?
I don't want this
why
to count.
Why did anyone leave the ocean?
I don't want this to count, but I do want to change my answer to why was the scuba detective on the case? I don't want it to count.
Scuba detective is pretty fun in a place I've never gone before. I'm surprised I've never been.
I haven't gone there before either, but it sounds fun.
I'm going to ask you one more time. You don't want that to count.
Nope. First thought, best thought. In fact, erase it. I'm going to cut it out of the episode. I think the first one's right. I think tartar sauce in the club is the
right
one.
That's too special. Don't cut it out of the episode because he's right, isn't he?
Why did detectives show up at the concert at the beach? Because something fishy was going on.
That's worse.
You said you got detective, though. That's a pretty good joke.
Detective is good.
Pretty good joke.
Why is it at a concert?
Oh, my goodness, dude. Why did they show up? Scuba Doo was right there, too, man.
Scuba Doo? Scuba Dooba Doo?
Scuba Dooba Doo. Scuba Doo. He's just like,
that's very good.
That's the bubbles. That's the bubbles.
Scuba Dooba Doo. I know it's the bubbles. It was too good of a. I'm Carter and I know it's bubbles. I know
we weren't just
bubbles.
Like, oh, that's a cool new voice.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of just found a new one.
That's your classic underwater. That's your classic bubbles.
Yeah, pretty massive.
I'm Carter and I know it's bubbles. Something else I know is who is in our championship for Spring Delirium.
Mm.
And wow. I do think it's going to come. We just, you know, we took a long walk to just get right back where we started. I think we knew that it was going to be our finale was going to be salsa.
Yeah.
Against Chewy's jalapeno ranch.
Yeah.
Those are our final two.
It was always going to be this.
Is it a regional reflection? Do you think most of the people that vote for this are from this area?
Anybody who wouldn't vote for this, the region is the least of their problems, I would say.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I would say same.
Wow. Really smart, he said.
Doge, our good buddy Doge, the joke master. Yeah.
The funniest fish detective of all time.
Had a birthday celebration recently, and I brought over finally for these boys who was just eliminated by Jalapeno Ranch, the Valentina. No, it was Yellowbird Serrano, but Valentina had made it, I think, to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
I'm so mad I didn't bring some Yellowbird for you to try.
I still haven't tried it. How are we feeling about that black label, the extra hot Valentino?
Oh, thumbs up.
Delicious.
Great,
delicious.
Isn't it?
Two thumbs to the clouds.
The fact that they sell it in liters is a great thing. Buy it now. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I would say buy it now before it costs a bit more. I would imagine it's going to cost more than it does at this point.
Why?
Be it not American. It's not American.
Because
it's going to cost a little bit.
Because we're so good. Because we win all the time.
Tariffs are going to affect American goods too, but that's neither here nor there, you know?
We're not talking about that either. We're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about box office ball.
I do have a tip I just want to share with us. I looked up, you know me, I'm never satisfied with where I'm at. I'm always trying to grow, always trying to improve. I went to live365.com/blog/5 tips that will make your radio show or podcast funnier. And I just want to share a couple of these so we can filter through them, make sure we're using this as kind of a rubric as we do our episode today.
Oh, great.
Number one, talk faster. Comedy, 99% of the time, tends to happen pretty quickly. So it needs to feel like Mrs. Maisel while we're doing our show. Number two, bring in funny guests. We can't really do that today because we're already recording and we didn't text anybody who's funny. Number three, use genuine laughter. So Jordan, if you could find a laugh track to add to this, I think that would help us a ton.
Can I just copy paste this one and see if it feels good later? If I go,
let's each get one.
That's a great one.
Carter, can you give me one? Give me a clean one.
Huh? That's good, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
and then I'll hit us with like a. And then we'll pop all
that's
those
a great
in.
One. We Have you ever done the, did we ever do the like laugh hysterically without smiling?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Isn't that fun?
It's great. That could be what we're doing every time if you're listening to our podcast. You don't know.
You never know.
They don't know.
Number four is one that I think we really need to work on, and it's called Respect the Laugh Zone. There's a thing in comedy called the Laugh Zone. You can create a laugh zone in your radio podcast as well. You also have a couple of options how you can do so. The easiest thing is just to stay silent for a beat after a knockout punchline. So for this episode, I really want us to try to respect the laugh zone. When we say something funny, nobody say anything else. Just be very quiet.
But you can laugh, though.
Mm-mm. You have to be so quiet so somebody else can laugh.
I promise solemnly that when you finally say something funny,
I
will give it some space.
Number five, develop your comedy skills outside of your show.
Jordan, that was a good dig. I was just trying to respect the laugh, so.
Yeah, no, it's great.
People don't laugh politely. It's important to know laughter is something that is earned, not given out by humans freely.
Crazy. Who is writing this?
That's a crazy take.
Humans do not give away.
That is a crazy take.
Actually, I guess it'd probably be more like, the humans do not give away their laughter.
People do not laugh politely.
Laughter must be earned.
These are our five tips. Now get out there and make your fans giggle. And I just wanted to share that quickly before we get too far into the podcast because I want to make sure it's funny. So to recap, talk faster.
Definitely recap for
sure. We can hit that today. Bring in funny guests. We can't do that. Use those laughs, Jordan. We got those clean. Respect the laugh zone. Develop your comedy skills outside of the show. We can't really do that, but maybe we can save it. Maybe we could start being funny for the first time today.
I really appreciate
that. Is point six, if something killed, say it again real quick at the end, just run through it one more time?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the laugh box office. Thank you. Yeah.
We want to respect the laugh zone.
Yeah.
Let's talk box office ball. We are in the final month of our spring season. Spring was February, March, and April. We're entering April and we have those five movies. For those of you that would like to play box office ball and are already a part of our Discord, jump on in. We've got a whole channel for that. We'll share those ballots on that monthly basis so that you can go in there. It's pretty quick. It should probably take you a minute or two. And then for those of you that want to play an art in the Discord, just get in the Discord. It's pretty simple. We're going to have a new season starting. That summer season starts next month. Doge coming just in time in the clutch to give us some summer jokes to get us ready for the box office ball season.
Your fish detectives.
Real quick, I do want to say our current scoreboard. First place with 14 points, Phil Hill. Second place, it's a tie. It's really as a tie for first between Phil and B. Taylor. Nobody surprised there. Riley Rybread with 13 points. And then there's a handful of people with 12, including our good friend Jordan of the podcast.
Oop.
Me, I'm at 11. Doge is at 9. But here's the thing. It's kind of like extra credit in the way that like there's kind of always a chance to win there at the end. Because each month we know that we can get 10 points. That means every time that somebody is correctly guessing the order of the five movies on that ballot and how much they will make domestically from most expensive most money made to least money made, and then guessing correctly who's going to like it more over there on Flixster, the audience or the critics. Our movies for April, we start with a Minecraft movie, which is already out and on opening weekend already made $140 million. That is great for movies. We were having a conversation. Some friends of mine that we get coffee. It's not these guys. They're my friends too, but I have other friends besides these two. Not many.
He really likes to brag about that.
We get coffee on Saturdays. Good friend was talking about taking their kids to go see Minecraft movie. And then we look at the Flixster of it all. And it's not doing well with critics, but audiences love it. And then I said, hey, listen, don't let this deter you. Many of the movies that were formative for us as kids had this very same gap. You go and look at Space Jam and Hook. And I think Sandlot actually was critically somewhat acclaimed. But most of these movies that feel goofy, they're not doing well. And it's going to surprise you in your adult age. The people, these kiddos right now that are watching Minecraft, 10, 15 years from now are going to be like, what? 40%?
Hook is the formative for me. I am still, as an adult, I can't believe Hook is not like everybody thinks it's an amazing movie. I think that movie's
not
great.
Dark or edgy, dude.
I think that movie's great.
But it's not dark or edgy, dude.
I don't know if you recall The Boo Box, my guy.
No, yeah, pretty I mean, it's too dark. Silly and funny. Dude.
It's scary.
It's not dark or edgy. That's the only movie.
Pretty
that
dark,
good.
Dude.
Sorry. If Christopher Nolan
is that why Paddington
it
does so
spooky?
Well?
Yeah, Paddington's dark and gritty and terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
A living bear, dude. If bears were real, you think I'd ever leave my house?
Do you think if a bear came true, we wouldn't be afraid of it? Come on.
Yeah. God. Can you imagine if bears were real?
I'm trying to.
Minecraft movie, first movie on there. It's a pretty good guess that it's going to be the make the most money. Like last month, Snow White beat all the other movies that were released in March within 48 hours. It's just going to happen, especially if we're hitting that age.
Kal-El, no.
No, don't. The Amateur. Speaking of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Rachel Brosnahan is in that movie with Rami Malek, Lawrence Fishburne, also known as
love her.
Morpheus. It looks good. And it's being released this coming weekend. So
I have never heard of this movie until right now.
There it is. That's what this is for, though. Like, why else are you listening to it? You want to listen to a podcast because it's a bunch of stuff you've heard before, Doge?
I'm not listening to this podcast, to be clear.
We're teaching people. You're listening right now to this podcast.
I'm listening to a third of this podcast. I'm listening to a third of it, and I'm listening to two-thirds of it, and I'm building a third of it in the air as it's flying.
Building it. The third movie is Sinners, which is going to be our Two Chunks Movie Club movie. Very excited for that.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a lot of fun. There was a Hot Ones versus between Michael B. Jordan and Hailee Steinfeld recently. That's worth a watch. It's fun to see some of their chemistry. I think with the media junket things, I can't help, you know, it depends on the kind of how cynical I am when I'm watching things like that. Those media junkets, you're like, do you really like each other? I think there's some movies where you're like, okay, I think these are genuinely friends. I think they're having a good time. Like White Lotus casts always seem to be, I mean, when you put people on set and they just only have that little insulated area for X amount of time, I think there's more chances that they're going to end up being buddy-buddy.
Danny McBride's cast for Righteous Gemstones seems to really get along as well.
Hey, we have blasted through that show, dude. Very, very much enjoy the Righteous
Gemstones. I need to start that. I think that's what we'll do after White Lotus so that we can get our Goggins. Still gets that Goggins feel.
Get your Goggins,
it's some of the best Goggins around.
It's Goggins. Goggins multiplied by Goggins. Goggins compounded upon Goggins itself.
Great Goggins.
Season 4 has been good so far, too.
Good.
Oh my Goggins. Releasing mid-April, or actually it's coming up. We have another, it's an A24 Alex Garland flick. Alex Garland, writer of Ex Machina, Annihilation. He is doing a movie called Warfare, which recently got a lot of heat, like good heat, because of its cast for one. And then because it's a little bit of a different depiction of war in terms of it's based through the memories of these guys that were in the same troop together, but also showing that it is, you know, there's a lot of humanity to it outside of just the killings and stuff and how that can be kind of tough. But Will Poulter, Cosmo Jarvis, Joey Quinn, pretty fun cast. It's probably not going to be super uplifting. Noah Centineo, the lady's love, but Warfare coming out in April.
LL Noah.
I was about to say LL Noah, dude.
I don't know that. What is that joke?
That's LL Cool. It stands for Ladies Love Cool James. LL Cool.
Oh,
James.
I knew that.
Well, okay, then you knew it.
Then you said Ladies Love.
I thought y'all are
you
so
said
hip.
Ladies
I thought it was
Love.
Just something completely different. I'm fine. The King of Kings is releasing in April on Easter. Nope, April 11th, not on Easter. That's an interesting choice. Pontius Pilate, played by Pierce Brosnahan, Oscar Isaac, is Jesus. We know this to be true.
No.
Kenneth Branagh. Hey, I'll give you each. Wait.
What's Pierce's
name? Wait, can
name?
I
take Pierce's name one more time?
What's Pierce's name?
Brosnan.
There you go. You got it.
What did I say?
Brosnahan, like Rachel, like Miss Rachel.
You lie.
Different Miss Rachel.
No, you said.
It's real.
Run it back, dude.
Hey, everybody,
I don't believe
everybody
it.
Listen to me. Hit that back 15 seconds button. That back 30 seconds button.
I was
they
holding
don't
back
to,
a
all
cough.
Caught it instantly.
I was holding back a cough when I said his last name.
Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan is Pontius Pilate. Oscar Isaac is Jesus Christ. For the rest of these movies, because this is our last box office ball, for the rest of our cast, I want you to guess who they play.
Got it.
Ready? So we've got Pontius, Pierce Brosnan. We've got Oscar Isaac as Jesus. Who do you think Uma Thurman? We'll save that one. Who do you think Mark Hamill voices in King of Kings?
Mark Hamill. I think he's doing
the cast.
Doing like a weird little gross guy voice. He loves to do those.
Mm-hmm.
So who would that be though?
The devil.
That's not the game. Okay.
Satan. Mark Hamill is Satan.
I was going to go with God, but now I'm going to go with Judas.
King Herod.
All right, yeah.
Hey,
that one
good
goes
choice.
To Doge.
Good choice.
Forrest Whitaker. Who do you think he voices?
Forrest
Who do you think
Whitaker?
Forrest Whitaker?
Mary.
More Gallet. Poor Gallet. I don't know. I don't
Peter.
know.
Good guess, Dosh. Ben Kingsley.
Why are all these guys old? This old
cat. Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley's not that old.
Ben Kingsley's.
Been living for a while.
Ben Kingsley's been born a long time ago. I bet 70.
Caiaphas. Great guess.
He's playing 70?
Doge again. Ben Kingsley as Caiaphas.
I see what's happening.
Caiaphas, everybody's favorite Bible man.
If you get this one right, if you can tell me who Kenneth Branagh voices in King of Kings, the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
If you can tell me who Kenneth Branagh is the voice of, I need to give a legitimate
thing. Sure seems like God should have cast some more ladies in his super important story, doesn't it?
I think Kenneth Branagh is an angel.
Ooh. But who is he playing, though?
Yeah, but that's just what I think. That's what I think. Yeah, that's what I like to tell everybody.
But who is he playing?
That's like two truths and a lie. That's one of my truths.
Oh, real quick, I'll throw this in here while y'all are thinking. Amari Williams, I haven't heard of him, but he is playing
Balthazar.
Balthazar.
Wait, is it Balthazar a wise man?
Yeah.
That's Christmas.
Bro, we're talking about the whole story of
Christmas. That's from Christmas.
Well, who was there? Jesus. Okay. Kenneth Branagh, if you get this right, I will make sure that you have Valentina. You do not pay for your Valentina for the rest of the year.
Carter just gave me 1 liter of Valentina. He may have already made sure I don't pay for my Valentina for the rest of the year.
Bro, that's only
sounds like you're not using enough Valentina.
I think he's being an angel. If we're doing Christmas, I think he's Gabriel.
Angel is the guest there. Jordan, who? Kenneth Branagh. Who is he playing?
Sticking with Mary.
Charles Dickens.
There's no way. Are you serious?
Charles Dickens.
What?
Uma is Catherine Dickens. Yeah, Uma Thurman.
Why are they in this?
Dude, go and find out.
Is it Muppets?
I won't.
I will never see this movie. In fact, if 2 weeks from now somebody's like, do you want to know genuinely the best movie I've ever seen? It's this new King of Kings flick. I will just swallow my desire to watch good things because I cannot support this.
Just be like, I guess I like the ones I've seen better probably.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you seen the Lego movie, dude?
It's tough for me because they're not vegetables. Because I always just picture them as vegetables hopping around with no arms or legs. And so it's really hard for me to see them as people. Mm-hmm.
Wait, these are people?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, Charles Dickens, he was a guy. This whole time I thought he was like a tomato or something.
Nope. Real guy, dude. Real guy. But that's what we got coming up. Get excited. Please. Get excited.
Today on
Prop Shoppers. I want to talk Prop Shoppers before we go to shout-outs.
Don't know what that is.
Shout announcements.
Oh, yeah.
He's still onboarding. He hasn't finished the packet yet.
Oh, dude, he's still onboarding a bit. I want to talk wardrobe. There's a whole wardrobe section on this movie prop warehouse list.
That makes sense to me.
And you guys have been able to afford some pretty cool stuff in winning some of these bids here.
Yeah, I don't like to brag.
There's some updrates we need to do to our wardrobes.
Yeah.
And so what I present to you today, to whoever gets closest, from Too Fast and Too Furious, this is 2003 flick. This is Tyrese Gibson's bandana. Mm. Now, we're talking pounds here today, not the American
dollar. I don't know those, dude.
Pull you up a currency converter.
I just feel pretty strongly that I shouldn't have to.
Am I going to put in pounds? What would you say that starts with, like the country for it?
Huh?
We can go Egyptian pound?
No, Great Britain.
What kind of question is this? What kind of question have you begun?
Well, I mean, let's just say, for example, the list I'm looking at doesn't, in the G's, Great Britain isn't there.
What?
Looking for English pound.
Those, you can't pretend to be the stupid guy. You've spent.
I'm not being the stupid
way
guy.
Way too long.
For real. This is a real question.
At little.
I'm not the stupid guy.
It's a horrible. I almost threw up. My tonsils touched.
Every single guy, not every single guy, there is a whole gaggle of awful gentlemen on the challenge, and they all sound like they want to be like New York gangsters.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's like, pound,
I can't believe
it's,
this.
It's pound sterling.
Why this guy's trying to do this? Too fast, too furious. Tyrese Gibson's bandana. How much pounds
I'm ready.
Are you willing to pay? Is that, you mean Tyrese from Too Fast, Too Furious?
Tyrese Gibson from Too Fast,
I would
Too
be, Furious.
I would be willing to play, to pay pounds.
Jordan, go first. I'll mute.
Okay. 698 pounds.
194.02 pounds sterling.
698, I believe, was the pound total for Jordan. Mm-hmm. 190, what was yours?
194.02.
It goes to Doge. Too Fast, Too Furious, Tyrese Gibson's bandana, selling for 149 pound. Congrats,
so
dude.
That's, hang on. We got to put that in.
When are you going to win your bandana? When are you going to wear your bandana, dude?
That's 192 United States dollars.
Are you not using a converter?
I am.
Oh, you meant the actual. Okay, I'm
the actual.
I'm
yeah,
I'm driving.
The bandana is 192.
You can't pretend to be the stupid guy.
No, I can. No, I can. I can.
I'm done with Braveheart stuff. There is so
Boo.
Much Braveheart stuff for Stinky. Sale.
Boo.
Can you believe?
I think Braveheart is a fine movie that I now hate and do not think is fine at all because of how many fights I've had with middle-aged pastors who have only seen Braveheart swearing it's the best movie ever made.
Only good movie ever made.
Oh my goodness.
I have for you now Pirates of the Caribbean. The Curse of the Black Pearl, 2003. A British
on Blu-ray.
Soldier uniform on Blu-ray, on props, on where, on the movieprop warehouse.com. Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, British soldier uniform. I'm ready.
I got my guess.
I'll mute. Doge, you'll go first this time. I'll...
You best start believing in 349.24 pounds sterling.
349.2. Jordan?
620 pounds sterling.
699 pounds.
Whoa.
Jordan
wins.
That's
expensive.
699, dude. Well,
you better start believing in high quality.
I almost stuck with my last guess as a joke, and it would have been 1 pound off.
That is 901 United States dollars.
Yep. Worth, dude. Absolutely worth. I have
is yeah
one more
tiebreaker.
Who will it be?
A Tyler breaker.
Break this Tyler in two pieces.
Do we do a random movie you've never heard of?
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That's super fun. Hang on,
guys,
how long can the laugh zone be after?
Never mind. I forget how not fun y'all are sometimes.
Yeah, and then the second half, we're going to do trivia about Golden Sun, the video game from Game Boy Advance.
That's so funny. I'm down. Can't wait.
I know the answers.
Hold up.
And Carter, for the win, if you can name one named character in the game.
Name oh, here one we are. Thing about
what?
It at all.
Which one now?
Golden Sun.
Golden Sun?
Mm-hmm.
A character from Golden Sun is all
yeah,
you
name,
ask of me?
Yeah. All I'm asking is that you name
just do
one
it.
Named
just
character
do
from Golden
it's
Sun
easy.
And then you win Prop Shoppers somehow.
You win.
Say what?
You yeah. win this game.
There's just so many I'm thinking of. Let me pull a real good one out for you.
Yeah.
What do we know about...
What if he does?
Dosifus Mahogany.
No.
Whoa. Close. That's who Kenneth Branagh is playing in King of Kings.
In King of Kings. Guys, our final prop for
from 1977's Star Wars: A New Hope. A Rebel Guard costume.
Ooh.
From Star Wars: A New Hope.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm mute.
Jordan?
1,008 pounds.
Lovely, huh?
2,910.36 pounds sterling.
2,910.36. Jordan bet 1,008. 3,999 pounds.
Wow.
That's crazy.
For a Rebel Guard costume from A New Hope. I mean, I'm not surprised.
That's like
iconic.
That's like not $5,100.
That's an iconic. Do you think anyone's listening that's like, we essentially are doing free advertising for Movie Prop Warehouse, and now they are like, really? That's all? And then they go and buy it?
Yeah. I think we got a lot of high rollers who listen to this show.
Yeah.
If we have people that think that's not a lot of money, would you like to be a sponsor of our show?
Yeah. You want to jump on over? Come on, see us. For less
of that. We will sell the rights to all of this. Two chunks, imagine done any of it.
I'm buyable as hell, dude.
We'll sell you anything you want if that seems cheap
to
you.
No, we'll do one more. This is a...
Great.
A sterling silver compass of... this was worn by Dosifus Mahogany.
Oh, wow.
From Rising Sun.
Wow. Yeah.
From Rising Sun. He's
Rising
in it.
Sun, the game that we talked about earlier.
Doge, let's sure just say it together. Like I think we both
said
know.
The wrong name.
I think we both know how many pounds this one is. Let's just say it together.
One, say it together.
Two, three, seven.
Four.
74.
40, 74 pounds. You're right.
74 pounds.
400.
Ding, ding. Lock it in.
4,474 pounds. 74,474 pounds. Let's go to shout announcements. Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. I just scared my own AirPods with that sound. Mm. It's like,
what does that mean?
It was like they were trying to protect me from a concussion grenade. They went out of transparency mode and into like noise canceling somehow.
They're like, he doesn't want to hear this. He definitely doesn't want to hear this.
There's a tea kettle going off. Let's protect him. It's Shout Announcements. And it's now, and we have them for you.
We do have them for you. And you might be wondering to yourself, what is Discord? And I think the best way to explain it is what Carter's about to tell you.
Well, Discord actually is any cord that you own.
Mm. Yes.
That cord would be one
that would be like
previously owned by another.
Correct.
Might be for Discord prop shoppers. We do.
You might have heard of Microsoft Teams, maybe Slacks, maybe GroupMe. Discord is a community online presence.
It's exactly like Microsoft Teams.
That was, it's a way to communicate with other people, really, is what it is. That was originally created for gamers of the world. That's why, because for the longest time, it's the little logo that this Disney adult thought were Mickey pants. Turns out it's a controller. But Discord logo definitely looked like Mickey pants.
Yeah, actually, no, I've never thought about it.
It does actually look like Mickey Pants.
It actually does look like Mickey Pants, doesn't it?
Join us on our Mickey
Pants.
But
for Two Chunks and a Hunk, it's where we have... I think we have... How many channels do you think we got over there? 20,
a
maybe?
Lot.
A bunch of them.
We're talking box office ball like we did at the first half of this podcast. We're also talking things like movie discussions, books. Survivor's got its own channel.
Books!
Two Chunks Movie Club, which is where you can come... get the info on where to come hang out with us on that monthly basis to see a new movie and go watch a movie together. Discord's community. That's what it is. It's an online community. It's a platform for an online community. Specifically for this one, for us. So.
Wow, that is all great. Correct. And the other correct thing is that you should be supporting and keeping your peepers peeled for season 2 of Imagine Dungeons by listening to season 1 of Imagine Dungeons, our actual play D&D podcast. Heavy on the role play, light on the seriousness, except for sometimes it's pretty silly. It's very fun. We play with people that are far more interesting and creative than we are, which helps prop up our sort of general stupidity, which is really wonderful. The story that Gage has mapped out for us and is sort of walking us through is really fantastic. Doge has made an incredible soundtrack, and the characters are just a blast. I think even if you don't know anything about D&D, it's a great place to start, especially if you start with the first episode of season 1, because we also don't know what we're doing, and you can learn right along with us. So check out Imagine Dungeons in preparation for season 2 launching to a podcaster near you soon.
It is my solemn promise that by the time we finish playing Imagine Dungeons forever, I will know how to play an artificer in D&D.
That's great. That's good for all of us.
And I'm making that promise here right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to learn how to do it
by
the time we're done.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think you already can.
Seems like it. Let's go back to the show. I have something to say.
Tell me.
Really?
You haven't even told us what it is yet.
That doesn't. That's true. Are you sure?
It'll be right here and fresh.
The world is bad.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I agree with that.
I think we can all probably agree things are not going great. And it can be very tempting to fall down a path of darkness, to fall down a path of cynicism. Today, I don't want to talk about the best things we have watched or the best things we have listened to or the best things we have played or read. Today, I want to have a little bit of a discussion about the things that bring us comfort and the things that bring us joy when we participate in them. I want this to be a repository for listeners to find things to do, to watch, to read, to listen to that bring them joy during this time of outside sadness.
Easy.
What are some things?
I throw a challenge in here.
Yeah.
Can't be something we've talked about on the pod before.
I think that's great.
Mm.
I think that's really great.
So keep your stormlights in that back pocket. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's really great.
We already know that.
I have discovered about myself that when I'm feeling a little maxed out, something that I really enjoy is throwing a show on TV that I have either seen already, like The Office or A New Girl, something that I'm very deeply familiar with, or a show like a non-competition reality show where you can just sort of listen like a podcast. Mm-hmm. And then playing some sort of turn-based RPG that brings me back to my childhood.
I love that.
Some sort of, whether it's a Pokemon or an Octopath Traveler or Golden Sun, just some sort of like, I can sit and be like, this guy attacked this guy. Feels good. Mm-hmm. That always feels nice. while I'm just sort of listening to a television show, fills me with so much. I think it sort of harkens back to like laying on my couch and playing Game Boy while my dad watched like SportsCenter or my family watched American Idol or something. I think puts me in a safe place and it feels good.
Yeah.
Brings me a lot of joy.
Kind of access some of that, like when joy felt the most pure.
When it was there. When you could just reach out and touch it. Yeah.
And the thing too there is like, are you really looking for it? It's just it's just a part of you at that point. You're like, I want to do this so I cannot worry about the world. Like, you don't really worry. Your world is different. You have worries. Like maybe my armpits smell bad or something. But
sure.
It's a little bit different. A joy that I find, and I've tried to, there's a lot that I'm learning in therapy about kind of a body keeping the score kind of thing that's not just traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
That can also be like your body through our senses remembering good times like that. Jordan, it's very similar to yours, but I remember when the AC was running and the coolness that I would feel when I would pull out my sleeping bag and put it on the living room floor to watch cartoons, like to watch anime.
Yeah.
I recently had Lay's Masterpiece barbecue potato chips, and they took me back to when I would come home after school and turn on Toonami. And so recently have sought out doing that. It's not hard to access those shows to where I want to find that lineup of even like the one Saturday morning lineup that you would get with like Recess, Pepper Ann, and that kind of stuff. And dude. Takes you, Pepper freaking Ann, launches Pepper you, Brad. Do Science Court That's if you're sticking around long enough and not already playing outside by 10:30.
Kids Science WB Court. On Saturday mornings was the place to be with all those cartoons too.
Yeah, man. Animaniac, Freakazoid, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So that's been a good thing for me. And I think too, there's still, there's whole pockets of like lore and fun storytelling. Like, so Marvel is massive. And so Marvel can be exhausting in some places. So I found a new Marvel, which was Marvel Snap, which is not trying to say like, oh, look at how all these things are connected. It's like, hey, basically, if you think this is what Professor X would be doing if he had a power in this deck building game, it's this just is deck what building. He does.
Yeah.
It's just deck building.
I like it.
They're building. Not asking me to build those connections. And Marvel Snap has been so fun for me. And it's got me kind of interested in, I think it's going to end up scratching the back of like bringing some interest back to the Marvel Universe because it feels like they're trying really, really hard and trying to do something different. To see characters and be like, whoa, I just played with, he's in one of my favorite decks, dude. I can't believe Cannonball's in this one. You know his powers, right? But it's just fun to do that. Mm. And so I think really it's like snacks and cartoons.
Sure.
It's been just a fun thing to
Hell
do.
Hell yeah, beautiful. Dude. Hell yeah, dude.
Real good.
I've got three. And I'm going to start by saying this is not the best game I've played in the last year.
That's not the question.
That's not what this is for.
But it's the most fun I've had playing a game in the last year. And I purchased on the Nintendo, like a Nintendo sale.
Are you about to say something you've talked
year?
About on this show before right now?
I don't think I've talked about it on the show.
Have I you talked think about he's going to say Hades?
No, I think you're going to say, well, I don't want to spoil it, but I'm pretty sure you talked about it on the show. But it's okay. It doesn't matter. We didn't do like a thing. It
have I talked about Ty the Tasmanian Tiger on the show?
Yeah, a little bit.
No,
but it's okay.
I don't have to talk
it's
about okay. it. It's a platformer from 2002. See, not a good game.
That's so good though.
Not a good game at all.
Sure.
Was like a game that is one of those games that as a kid, like I would play it and just, I have the first level memorized because I like, would just be like, I'm going to start a new save because I got to a point that I can't beat. And it was like, I have the first four levels up to the first boss fight
that's
fully
so
memorized and then couldn't ever beat the boss.
How could I play, if I'm trying to play the Lion King game, like the first one.
Oh yeah.
Where would I go? Computer? That thing?
It's on computer.
That you have, Jordan?
It's on, I'm pretty sure they did like a Disney Saturday afternoon collection on Steam. You could play it.
That sounds right.
That game's hard. Dude. You could play it.
Any computer so you have hard. Would run it too.
Yeah.
Well, I need to get back into Shinobi.
Yeah.
I need some Shinobi back in my life.
Yeah, dude.
Those old games.
Something about that old game though, and the like, it feels like I finally scratched a 23-year itch that I just like in four sittings beat Ty the Tasmanian Tiger. Mm. You know what I mean? Where it's like not a good game, not even particularly like fun minute-to-minute gameplay.
You just needed it.
Just like I did it. I beat it. Other two things bringing me a ton of joy right now. Daylist. My Daylist on Spotify is, I look forward to that refresh every time it refreshes because it's like, why does it think I like this? This is crazy. I'll often get like indie lo-fi gamer afternoon and it's like just like lo-fi versions of indie game soundtracks and it's great. It's awesome. Like I haven't had a day
list. Mine is always like, it's not a phase, mom, morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mama's like, what is y'all's right now?
My day list right now. Let's see.
Let's find out.
I have yet to be disappointed by a daylist on Spotify. It's so much fun. Let's see.
Nostalgia Millennial Sunday.
Acoustic Folk Wistful Sunday Morning. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be awesome.
This playlist contains such bangers as Ain't It Fun, Ocean Avenue, Misery Business, My Own Worst Enemy, Dance Dance by Fall Out Boy, 1985 by Bowling for Soup, but also Jumper by Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
The Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani. Honestly, this playlist. Bangs. Oh,
Sweet Escape is so good.
That's the thing. Daylist is never bad, never wrong. Carter, yeah. What's your daylist right now?
Coastal Grandmother, Folky Sunday Morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it knows.
That's exactly how I would describe you, dude.
So if you're not Americana in the know.
And Western.
If you're not yeah. in the know about Daylist, it's like, you know how Spotify does your Discover Weekly? This is essentially a Discover Weekly that like refreshes a couple of times a day, every few hours. Gives you a new set of songs based on what Spotify thinks your vibe might be at that time. And it's always great. Brings me a ton of joy. I love popping that on and listening to it. And then last, we've started trying new recipes again. Got stuck in a recipe rut for a little while.
Yeah.
And now we've been like, let's try some new stuff and try and give our weekly rotation a bit of a refresh. Too. And it's great. I love eating new stuff. I love making new stuff.
Isn't it pretty magic? It's pretty magical to find something that might make it into the regular rotation.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what?
We've
this took 30 minutes?
We've carefully curated our 10 to 12 things that are in our weekly. And then we'll do like a one-off a Friday. Like, let's try this weird thing. But like,
Chelsea,
to make it there, it has to be great and it has to be so easy.
Yeah. Chelsea has helped me to be more seasonal with like, food and drink, because it was like I didn't matter what time of the year it was. But what's the fun thing about the rotation of the seasons is like now we've got the skillet lasagna bake is coming back.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is just an absolute banger.
That's how I feel like, about our first chili of the year.
Mm. Yeah.
That's lasagna like season. That's like whenever Starbucks brings out the pumpkin spice latte. That's how I feel when it's chili time. It's like, oh,
yeah,
it's time. It's chili time now.
I just told Callie this morning that I think I'm going to try and make a quiche here pretty soon. I've never made a quiche before.
I love a quiche.
I love that idea.
I like quiche. I've just never made it.
Love a quiche. Little quiche Leroy.
I'm going to try and make a little quiche.
Little quiche Leroy.
I've been finding a lot of joy in building fun, easily repeatable routines.
Mm.
Every day at like somewhere between 2:30 and 3:30, just depending on my schedule, I will pop out to the kitchen, give myself a little break from work. And I will have we keep our apples in the fridge. That might be normal. It might not. I don't know. But they're ice cold when I
Yeah, we do too.
And I will have myself a little it's Honeycrisp every time, Honeycrisp or die. I will pop out and pretty much every day I have a little Honeycrisp apple, a little square of sea salt dark chocolate, and then drink like 30 ounces of water before I make my afternoon cold brew.
Just chug it up.
That time, it's just like, this is the good fuel. This is the fuel that makes my body run. This is an oil change for my skeleton. And it feels good every time. And usually during that time, whatever I'm currently interested in, I'll take during that 15 minutes and I'll just either I'm walking around like reading head down while I'm trying to do all this stuff, or maybe I'm playing Pokemon or I'm scrolling a TikTok or two. But it's a nice little like, it's just a nice little 15 minutes for me in the middle of the.
I love that, man.
Middle of the afternoon.
Your time.
It feels nice.
Necessary.
Yeah. It's good. I think.
Necessary.
I think mainly my desire to have this conversation is just there's plenty bad, and there's plenty bad that we should be focused on for change and hope that things get different. But there's also no excuse to not take some intentionality in making sure that we find some joy. And I think that it's a dangerous place to be when our joy is dictated by sort of the currents around us rather than us sort of planting a flag and saying like, I'm going to stop down here for a minute and find a little joy so I can keep going.
Yep.
So if you're listening and you have some fun ways you find joy and you're in the Discord, throw it to us. If not, send it to us on Instagram. And if you need some suggestions, try playing some Pokemon or
play some Pokemon.
A new recipe or watching some cartoons.
Or buy Tyler Tasmanian Tiger for $9.99 on your Switch.
You can do that.
$9.99. If we want to take 75 seconds to head into Carter's classroom.
Sure.
Which is a new thing that I want to start doing. You know, Jordan's got, ever since Jordan got his car corner, I was like, man, I need something. I need something
what
to
do I get?
Fun facts?
Yeah. You got lots of stuff.
Like what? Name five things.
Fun facts and pocket protectors.
Fun facts, dude.
Losing things.
No.
And getting mad about it.
Yeah. Carter's Corner is Carter Classroom. Goodness, I don't want to steal from you. 75 seconds here. Comp Carter's theory students corner. Would know kind of what we've been talking about, what Jordan brought for the podcast today is that we notice it more as we get older, but life is just about navigating a constant tension. It's not about completely relieving yourself of something. And a metaphor that I use for this is like really what we're trying to do is just develop tools and have access to those tools. It doesn't mean we have to use them all the time. So it's like your kitchen. If you get a kitchen for the first time, I know the three of us have had this where you move in with someone, you get married and you couple up and now you're just kind of like, here's all the things that I got for my wedding registry and stuff. And then as you get older, you realize, you know what though? A frother is nice to have for that hot cocoa when we're doing that on the top of the stove, but you don't use the frother every day. So your kitchen starts to become, you kind of audit what needs to be there and you bring all these tools together and realize what you need to have access to for certain times. And so that's really what life is. And I think what we're talking about with Game Boy and cartoons and old video games is just these tools that we didn't know we were developing, but it's just having access to helping us navigate some of that constant tension. So find new tools. I think that's a fun process in general.
Or develop dig up tools. Old ones, apparently, is also
dig up old tools, there. Find some new ones. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's necessary. Got to have it.
Yeah, I think what you brought up earlier about connecting back to a time when joy was just part of the daily schedule rather than something that we were using to fend off less joyful things. I think there's something to that. Listening to old music, playing old games, reading old books, watching old cartoons. Like I think connecting back to a younger version of yourself that would be stoked to have the resources you have now and would be sad to see you not using it for fun stuff. I think that's like a very powerful tool to sort of like reach through a time portal and grab hands with 8-year-old self and say like, let's do something together today, man. You and me, let's have a little fun day. Oh, that just made me emotional.
Man.
Okay.
That's really sweet.
Making me want to strap on my rollerblades today, man.
Oh, ooh, why not, dude?
He be blading.
I'm not sure that if I tried to rollerblade today that my body would recover from it. With any degree of speed.
You're 31. You're not 60. You're fine.
I can't imagine the soreness in the hips and the cheeks.
It's good for you. Get a little sore cheek, dude. It's good for you.
Get them glutes.
Only old if you feel old. You know what I mean? Speaking of.
Yeah.
Well.
Jeff Probst revealed his age to all of us this week at Tribal Council in Survivor when he named the only dances he knew, which were around at the time of The Great Gatsby. Let's talk about a little bit of Survivor.
Production. So when I started listening to, what is it called?
On Fire.
Imagine it ended up being so much about the writing and like the production process, which is what I thought, but really unlocked a lot for me and has so much appreciation for, especially. The new era might not have some of the things that we were talking about, like the Joe Hunters of the world and the people fighting for honor and clearly good people and clear villains isn't something we've had since old Survivor. But what we have had with the new era is really creative production. I think they've done a really good job of introducing characters at a certain time. Because I remember there was a couple of seasons where it would be predictable. It's like, well, since we're talking so much about this, I know this tribe is going to lose and have to go to tribal council. Because there's all this tension. So as we're getting these gradual introductions and now Star was one of the last people I didn't know much about on our island. And now that we get to know her and it was kind of like she got to be the star of this episode. And I loved it. I think we continue to have incredible interpersonal conversations. Like Star encouraging Cedric was so great.
So good.
After he had such a hard time. In this pre-merge, which I really dig that vibe. Drop your buffs, but some of you might not make it, is so intense. And that would you rather be voted off first or the last person voted off before jury?
I'd rather make the jury, for sure.
No, that's not, the last person voted off before jury is what he said.
Oh, and not, okay, yes.
Almost get there?
No.
Yeah, I'd rather
or
go first.
Or never have a chance.
Go first. If I'm not going to win this game, send me home 9-1.
I just want to be that around.
I'll take a shower. I'll eat some macaroni and cheese. You guys eat coconuts and be dirty.
Well, yeah, it's an impossible question, though, because it's like, I would just want to stay until I can't anymore.
Right.
Like, I want to keep playing. So I totally get that. But yeah, I agree. Star has been a total star this week. And this is a pretty standard merge episode. I was expecting a little more tomfoolery, but it was pretty much easy vote. I know they were split a lot more than I thought they would be, which is always interesting. I actually don't love the drop your buffs, but we're not actually merged. And then now we're merged. It's not my favorite. I just wish that they would
go straight to the feast. This is the first time they didn't share the feast, right? Like half of them only got to eat?
No, they've done half before.
For some reason, it really stood out to me. Maybe I was hungry.
I'm just glad it wasn't the like half of you are safe.
That's the new era thing that they have done several times. And I don't enjoy the like half of you are safe. And
someone will have a journey.
Eligible for elimination. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, actually, all of you that won that aren't actually safe. Now the other crew is safe because this person went on a journey and they got the puzzle right kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you the other thing that I hope doesn't happen is that thing. I think we did it last season or maybe two seasons ago where it's like we merge. And then a week or two later, it's like, psych, you're now two tribes again for this one tribal council. It's like, this sucks, dude. Yeah, just let them be merged. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play. That's what I always say.
Get out there and let them play, dude.
Come on,
let them play.
Get out there and just let them play.
But yeah, we had some pretty funny moments.
I'm surprised no one really talked about it, or at least we didn't show it on camera. But say bragging about the meal. I think everybody watching was like, didn't she just tell people not to gloat?
Yep.
And but she actually didn't even win anything.
No.
She found something.
I say this, well, she stole something from right under, was it?
Great shot, by the way.
She yoinked
it. Great shot.
Yeah.
That was such a good shot. So Charity sees it. We think she sees it first. And then out of frame, Say comes in and grabs it right before Charity. Excellent shot.
I mean this as a compliment. What Say says only applies in the moment she says it.
Yeah.
Like whatever she's talking about, it is not a true statement once she's done saying it. As soon as her mouth closes, it is up to, subject to change, I guess is what I'm saying. And I love that. I think that's very fun to watch. I doubt very much that she's like that in real life. I really do think she's probably pretty normal in real life. And this game version of Say is just like, what I say goes, but it also goes out the window. And I think that's hilarious.
She's got the most confusing, most interesting game to watch to me this season.
Yeah.
Because there's no logic to it. There's no consistency to it, which is what you're saying.
But there's lots of confidence, which is what
she's
like.
So confident.
And it's working.
It is. It feels like there's conviction and she knows why she's doing things, but she's just not telling us. Or when she does,
I think it's because by the time she gets to her talking head interview, she has forgotten why she was so convicted about it because she stopped saying it.
Yeah.
I really do think that's what it is. I think in the moment she's like, this is the right thing to do. And then she walks away, sits down, and they're like, why'd you do that? She's like, I cannot remember.
I don't know. What did I do?
I do not recall.
Yeah. Remind me what happened.
Yeah.
And then Cedric has that same problem, but for a different reason.
Chelsea, now, you know, you get down to 13 and you're like, usually you can tell the strength of a cast by like, who would I be fine if they won? There's really only two of the 13 that I would be disappointed if they won at that time. Now it's only one of the 12. And I think it's just because I don't know much about them. Charity, who's now gone.
Yeah.
And then Chrissy. Sure. I would just be like, I don't, you know, I think Say is interesting. I don't think she will.
No.
It's not a matter of if I think they'll win. It's like, how will I feel if they do?
I think I would be.
Literally everybody else, I'm down.
I would be disappointed might be a weird word. But disappointed if Cedric won.
Because Cedric would be a little gay blur for me.
Cedric is very just like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, a Cedric win would be a little bit of a Gabler win for me.
I think he's the Alligabler, though,
dude. He goes back under the water.
I just didn't think he was a good winner. Same with Cedric. I like Cedric. I just don't think he'd be a good winner.
I think I'm always down for an arc. And I think that there is a chance. He feels like he has energy to be someone that you'd be like, wow, I can't believe Cedric got it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. In fact, I don't believe it.
A nice split. Say voted for Cedric, which is hilarious. I kind of wish that Say had gone home because she voted for Cedric, but not that I want Say to go home, but just that her thinking it would be funny or whatever to vote for Cedric and then she goes home by one vote.
I really want to hear her say why she did that.
I love the
listen to me multiple, when I tell you she's not going to remember.
She doesn't remember why yeah. she did that. Yeah.
The multiple people that was like, there was a couple people, like I think Charity was one of them, and maybe Say, and like, we should really get Eva. And then like literally everyone else is like, no. And everyone knows she's got an idol and they're like, no. I think Mary had a really good moment to where they were like, I think, and she was like, ooh. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know she's dude, a big threat, but why? I don't think we should do that right now.
I
right?
love Mary, dude.
She's amazing, dude.
Mary is a comedy assassin. Mary is yeah, secretly so funny.
She's hilarious.
I'm a big Mary fan. I'm a big fan of most of who we got left in the show. I agree with you, Carter. Yep. To end today's episode, let's give our name and let's update our winner picks. We're about halfway through the season. Now's a good time to update our winner picks. That's fun. Let's update our winner picks and what we think they probably do to experience joy at their homes. For two chunks and a hunk, I do think I'm on board the Camilla train.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a lot of heat around Camilla. I feel like she has been just under-edited enough for her to start exploding again in this back half. And her and Kyle are a pretty powerful duo. I happen to like both of them a lot. And I think that they pulled off one of the best early game blindsides we've seen in a hot minute.
With Thomas? Mm-hmm. Oh, that was yes. great.
And I really think Camilla's got some heat, man. She would be a perfect, like, she's the perfect villain because she's not bad. Like, she seems to be awesome, but
yeah.
willing to play this game a little sneaky, which I love. And I think probably at home, I mean, she said she's a gamer. I'm going to guess Camilla likes to curl up with a Nintendo Switch and get a little Animal Crossing done. Maybe a little bit of Breath of the Wild.
I think we might just start over. I think we might co-own an island here over
you
at the Willis house.
You should do that. But I will tell you, there are rumblings of a new one coming out in the next 365. So, you know, get your island ready. Use it as a practice run for the next one.
Love that.
I'm Doge, and I have got a Kyle kind of feeling. Got the momentum of that first individual immunity win. Seems to be very well liked. I don't know that anybody is saying anything bad about this gentleman. So we'll see. With Camilla by his side, I think he's going to do pretty well.
Yeah.
And I think at his home, he seems like he seems like he makes a really good grilled cheese. And I don't know what it is about him. He seems like the kind of guy who would be like, I have perfected this grilled cheese. I've got this sandwich. I eat it every day. It's this particular cheese, this particular bread. Let me make you a grilled cheese.
Did we ever end up doing Herbie's down here in Oak Cliff when y'all were down?
I don't think
that's the burger spot.
Yeah.
So every now and then they'll do a little fun thing over the weekend. They had a Frito pie for a while that they were making with their ground chuck.
I love Frito pie, dude.
It was stupid, dude. It was stupid.
It all comes down to the quality of the chili.
Multiple. We got Herbie's sauce on there. We got grilled jalapenos, grilled onions. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man.
And a, like cheese sauce.
Yeah.
Amazing. Right now they're doing because it's like cold out of nowhere up here in Dallas. It's not out of nowhere. It's never predictable. A roasted garlic, tomato, and basil soup with a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty fantastic.
It's a soup day.
I'm Carter, and I'm going to say Mitch. I think this is a really big moment that is about to happen for him.
Mitch has to have a good week.
He has to have a good week, and so I think how he collects himself and carries on after losing Charity, he seemed pretty visibly upset. Is going to be a really big moment for Mitch. I think he is deceptively good at challenges. Nobody's really talking about
left, dude. It's out in the open.
But is anybody talking about it? That's what I'm saying. Like in terms of the zeitgeist of the island, are the contestants saying
someone has to be?
They must, because anytime we're throwing something in a challenge, when we were in the tribes, they're like, oh, get Mitch up there. Because the moment he granny shot five in a row of those. Like ocean baskets or whatever you would call that.
I think knowing what I know about Say and the way Say's brain and game works, if it is at all a possibility, everything everywhere all at once, Say has spoken of for at least 30 seconds. So I'm sure she's talked about, hey, Mitch is a cop beast. Anyway.
Yeah. I think Mitch is a fan of new experiences, specifically culinary. I think he's a cook. I think he's a cooker. And I think he's trying new things. I think he also loves tailgating because there's no way he's never played cornhole with the way he's tossing those
balls.
True guy. So he's a big tailgater. I'd love to know. I know he's local. I'd love to know who he's a fan of. If it's the Cowboys, that's okay.
That's great, man. And it's okay if you're a fan of the Cowboys listening. But regardless, whether you're a Cowboys fan, a Reading Rainbow fan, or just sort of a fan of you, it is time to go.
Go Birds.
And we'll see you next time. Go Birds.
Only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.